man. Amen. Thank you. And I'm sorry when I, obviously you've done it too, you begin to pray and other things hit your mind and other people. And so when we're praying for someone, that's great, but if somebody brings somebody to your mind, go ahead and lift them before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Today, we're back into 1 Peter chapter 2. We're looking at verses 11 through 17. Today's title is simply Respectful Living. Everybody say that. Respectful living. How many believe we ought to live with respect toward others? Amen. Let's start with the first two verses here, verse 11 and 12. Peter writes, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Heavenly Father, today as we encounter your word, I ask that we may be changed. God, that as we hear it, it will take root and it will grow. Lord, that it might bring you glory on the day you come to visit us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I kind of get to the main topic of respectful living, I want to make sure that you hear the tone of Peter's words today. I know that several translations actually use the phrase, "dear friends," that's in verse 11, but probably a better understanding of that phrase would actually come from the original Greek and probably be best translated with an old-fashioned term or an old-fashioned word to us today, that word being beloved. Beloved. It comes from the Greek word, which is agapetos. Notice the root of the word. The root is what word? Agape. Agapetos carries with it the connotation of worthy of love, esteemed, or favorite. This is important to understand because Peter is speaking out of incredible love here. He wants what is best for the church. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, as he writes this, is making sure to know that you are loved. We're not being condemned. Understand this. We are not being condemned for the changes that still need to happen in our lives. Aren't you glad of that? How many know you still need to grow? Well, you're not being condemned for your need to grow, and that's what I want you to hear. The beloved. Listen, we're walking this thing together. But we do need those changes to happen in our life. Amen? Amen? But God wants you to understand, though, that you are loved even though you're in a process, okay? And through that love, the Holy Spirit is going to challenge us, so get ready for this, in a way that how we're going to see others and how we're going to love others. That's why we have to understand the heart. We have to understand the love. We have to understand the compassion behind these words that Peter is sharing because you are beloved. And so everything you're about to hear, I need you to filter it with the knowledge of how much you're loved. Amen? So everybody got your filter on? With love. Okay. So the first challenge is this. Abstain from sinful desires. See, many times we can hear this as condemnation instead of conviction of the Holy Spirit because he loves us. Peter takes a moment and reminds us, first of all, that we're foreigners. Remember, we're exiles. We're the people of God that are living in the world. Peter says, though, we've got to guard from giving in to sinful fleshly desires. Now, for new believers, as they're growing in Christ, how many know there are things that can keep pulling you back into worldly ways? You know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like the guy who goes to the doctor and says, "Doctor, I've got these horrible headaches because I keep hitting myself in the head." How do I get rid of the headaches? Well, how many know the answer is pretty simple, right? Stop hitting yourself in the head. And that's what happens so many times in our lives as believers. We keep getting falling into these traps over and over. And you're saying, how do I get free of that? Well, you quit doing that. Abstain from sinful desires. Peter is saying to the church, you've got to kind of begin to say, I'm going to stay away from these things that want to catch me over and over and over again. Church, we have to realize that we're not of this world. And we no longer give in and keep doing the simple things of this world. We abstain. That means we stop doing the sinful desires. And by the way, remember, Peter's telling you this lovingly. And I tell it to you lovingly today. Do your best. Do your best to abstain from sinful desires. The word sinful desires actually better translated fleshly desires, because it's not just anything, it's what our flesh wants. And Peter addresses actually this again in chapter 4 that we're going to get to, but let me read one verse to you of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. This is how he puts it later. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do. You've had enough of that. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Peter knows those flesh-pulling desires can have a negative effect on our life and eventually on our testimony in Jesus. And so Peter is lovingly, I got to just kind of make sure that filter stays in place, calling those who belong to Christ to abstain and say, listen, I will not participate in those sinful activities of this world. Church, the command is quite simple, but quite huge. We all have sinful things that we wrestle with in our lives. And you know, I'll tell you what really makes this really difficult is that a lot of people around us are not wrestling with these things because they're pursuing them with gusto. That's what's going on, but not so for us as believers in Christ. Why? Because we're hearing the Word of God and beginning to say we're applying the Word of God. Now listen to Peter as I believe he attempts to answer why we live this way. First, he reminds us we are aliens and strangers, or he uses the word exile, in this world. Peter basically, if I can put it in my own words, we are to look like a child of God and not look like everyone else in the world. We are to be children of God. Church, we have a different focus. We have a different value. We're heading to a different destination than those who have not surrendered their life to Jesus. And because of this, we should want to act differently than those in the world. Now, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy and appreciate the created world that God has given us, but because we're citizens of heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a different loyalty than those who are in the world. We are seeking a kingdom that is not of this world. And therefore, as he says, we are aliens. We are strangers in this world. We need more and more for this world to become stranger to us. I can't really remember. I have to go back and look when I went on a missions trip to Nicaragua, but I think it's about 7 years ago now. I gave up Coca-Cola. I gave up actually all pop. And today, and when I first did it, it was a challenge, but I did it for a health reason because I was having reflux and it was affecting me. And I'm like, okay, I got to deal with this. And the doctor said, you need to quit drinking pop and some caffeine and things of that nature. And so I'm like, okay, I'll give it up. I have to tell you today, anytime I taste anything that's carbonated in any way, it just is nasty. I used to love my Coca-Cola, and Dr. Pepper, and but it's become strange to me now. And church, that's the way we need to see the things of this world. When you begin to put it away, it doesn't have the same attraction that it used to. Secondly, Peter says, we abstain from sinful desires. Listen, because they'll destroy you. Listen to verse 11 again. Dear friends or beloved, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Abstaining from sinful desires, by the way, is a war. It's a battle that we face every day. And we can't be successful by being passive in our walk with God. Peter says you've got to take action, because our behavior in this world really reveals our true value, or what we truly value, and who we really belong to. And all of us need to understand that when those fleshly desires rise up within us, we got to take that battle to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me work through this and deal with this so it doesn't continue to play havoc on my life. Church, your soul is too important to play with. Your soul is eternal. As Paul puts it, fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Also, I believe we've got to live consistent in your walk with God. Hear verse 12 again. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter is really being clear about the fact that as a follower of Christ, we are going to have to swim against the current of this world. And sometimes that's going to bring ridicule to your life, even when you're doing good. But in spite of that, Peter says if we'll embrace the life of Christ, if we'll pursue godliness and self-discipline, if we'll live faithful and godly lives, and we do so with consistency, one day those critics of ours who were opposed to the way we lived our lives in Christ will one day see that we were genuine followers of Christ and give glory to God. That's what the Word of God says. I heard this once said. It says, for unbelievers, earth is a playground. But for believers, earth is a battleground. How many feel that? So we've got to prepare ourselves for this, because these things wage war against your soul. And based just on these first couple of verses, let me give you three thoughts real quick. Number one is, we ought to live a God-honoring life. Church, it's never wrong to do what is right. Amen? Secondly, diffuse criticism with consistency. The best way to silence a critic is to live a life that proves them wrong. Remember, consistency starts in little things. The way you do your job, the way you present yourself, the way we handle frustration, the way we forgive. Be consistent and it will diffuse your critics. Third, you need to remember that the world is watching you. People notice the way we live our lives. Church, when you and I show the love of Christ to those who are outside, especially outside the body of Christ, it will make an impact. This next portion of Scripture may be challenging, because we're going to talk about the way you see those in authority. The bottom line is, though, let me make this statement. We are called to respect those in authority. Everybody, hopefully with honesty, would you read this with me? We are called to respect those in authority. Now, I want us to be careful to really listen today. I do not want you to miss the point of the Holy Spirit as he makes this lovingly through Peter to the church. As Christians, we need to be careful that we do not get so angry and rebellious against the things going on in our nation or in the world that somehow we do not represent the Lord in our lives where we live. So let me read to you 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. The predominant principle that Peter is giving us in this is respectfully submit. And I'm going to talk about that. This won't be the last time you hear the word submit from Peter in this letter. And so today, let me kind of give you a general principle, and then we will apply what we can today, and also in the weeks to come, apply this principle to our lives. Now, I know that when people hear the word submit today, they can get a little tense. Come on. It has become, and even in the church, a kind of almost a bad word. Submission is one of those words that some would just like to remove from the dictionary. Unfortunately, what I think is people have the wrong concept of what true submission is. They think submission means, well, I'm being taken advantage of, or I'm being diminished as a person because I'm under, or that it has to do with weakness. I want to define submission, but before I do it, I want you to see two important things that Peter says leading into this. First, note that submission is a voluntary action. Peter says, submit what? Yourselves. Church, we have to understand our walk and our walk with God. We are submitting ourselves voluntarily before the Lord. Church, this is a choice. It's not an act of weakness. In fact, it's an act of faith on our part. Also, listen to all the words in this statement from Peter. Submit yourselves what? For the Lord's sake. The reason we take this voluntary action is so that we can obey and honor the Lord. Church, submission is a spiritual act that reveals our trust and our reliance in God. Everybody say that, read that with me. Submission is a spiritual act that reveals our trust and our reliance in God. So what does it mean to submit? Simple definition, submission means to place under or to subordinate. Peter tells us that you are to place yourselves under, are you ready? Every human authority. I thought I'd get a big amen out of that. In other words, we are to recognize and respect the authorities that have been established on earth. That means the president, Congress, judges, governor, other state governing officials, local officials, teachers, law enforcement, employers. We're going to talk about that more next week. Church, we are to be under authority for the Lord's sake. You've really got to hear this. Now, to submit seems to go against the contemporary culture of what's going on today. And what Peter is saying is, if we disagree with the policies of the government, you still have to be respectful to that authority. And if you're not aware of it, respect is a major thing that is disappearing in our nation and in our homes today. And listen, that disrespect has led to a divided nation. Think about it. It's led to a divided church. It's led to disunity in the government. Chaos is now intruding the home, and now violence seems to be the solution for our problems. Do you see where it leads? And Peter says, the church, if you'll understand that you are Bible-believing Christians, and now we adopt the method and embrace the Word of God instead of the ways of the world. If we embrace the ways of the world, we will do so at the expense of the kingdom of God. We are living for a different kingdom. Let me be clear on this point, though. Submission does not mean we compromise with evil. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of people who refused to do what was wrong in the eyes of the Lord. But by the way, they faced the consequences of the law and did it with respect. You want some examples? How about Daniel? He prays to God, but ends up in a lion's den. Did what was right for God. And by the way, do you think God got glory out of that? He did. He didn't say, well, I'm just going to pray and do whatever I want to do. And you know what? Your laws mean nothing to me. No, I respect your laws. I'm just going to obey God first. And you know what? Your laws say I go in the lion's den, I go in the lion's den. By the way, the Lord protected them. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We are not going to bow to an image. There will be no other idol. There will be no other God before our God. Yet, by the way, they faced the fiery furnace, which was the law. They respected the law, but God ended up getting glory. What about Peter and Paul and many others who were sent to prison? New Testament, many of them died, but they didn't compromise their walk with God. But at the same time, they respected the governing authority. Church, it is right for us to stand up for what is right. It's not ungodly to let your voice be heard on the issues of, say, abortion or same-sex marriage. There are other things that are contrary to the Word of God, and God's Word is clear on how we should live in the midst of all this. But if we're going to pursue change, we need to do so with a proper conduct and a proper attitude toward those in authority. We have to have respectful living. Why? Listen to some of the benefits of submission. Peter explains a little bit in verse 13 through 15. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are set by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Let me just give you two benefits I see. Submission to authority preserves order. The government's purpose is to keep order and restrain evil. And without respect for the government, we would have lawlessness and chaos and eventually total disorder. It's the government that gives us our law enforcement, gives us our military, gives us all kinds of things that you enjoy out there. And Peter says, I want you to understand that when we submit to those in authority over us, we're preserving the order that God designed for our lives. Now, by the way, that order can be and has been abused. But our role as believers is to respect it. A second reason is this: submission is the most effective agent of change. By being respectful and doing good, he said, you will silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. When we're really respectful to those in authority and do what we're asked to do, as long as it doesn't, of course, go against God, our respect will take the fuel away from those who want to create conflict with us. In fact, listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to Titus in Titus 3, and he says this, remind the believers. By the way, I'm reminding you today to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Verse 2, they must not slander. Can I just pause for a moment? How much slander have you even heard from so-called believers throughout all this political stuff? That's not the way we act, church. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. And then listen to verse 3. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. Paul said, we used to be that way, but now because of Jesus and what his Holy Spirit is doing in us, our ways have changed. The goal for a Christ follower is to treat every person as a valuable treasure who has been created by God. And we need the gentleness of the Holy Spirit and a willingness to have a listening ear, and then respect even those who might disagree with us. You have to understand, your tone can undermine your ability to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Can I say that again? Your tone can undermine your ability to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Peter, in fact, goes as far to say, to live any other way is to use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. You say, well, what does that mean? Did you know there's many times people will use their faith or their concern for the truth as a way to excuse their anger, their meanness, their arrogance, or even their abusive nature to others? They just get right up in people's faces and like, well, you don't know the truth. You don't know how much God loves you. Well, that's powerful for the enemy. What, that kind of behavior hurts the cause of Christ rather than ever opens up a door. Pastor James, would you go ahead and head up? I want you to listen to how Peter sums up the thoughts, I believe, in verse 17. He says this, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Let's quickly look at these thoughts. First of all, respect all people. I don't know, this is a general principle. If we honor and respect everyone, think about it for a moment. If we honor and respect everyone, then we will naturally respect and honor those in authority. As believers, we have got to see every person as a valuable creation of God. And that what that means is skin color, gender, ethnicity, age, social class, appearance, or reputation has no bearing on how we treat people. We respect all people. Amen? Next, Peter says, love the family of believers. We have got to agape, sacrificially, be willing to give ourselves for each other. And understand, the world is watching us. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples, and by the way, he speaks to us as disciples. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I want you to know, people are looking at how we relate to one another to see whether or not the Christ of Christianity is really worth seeking. People go, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want that. The world draws its conclusions, like it or not, about Jesus from the way they see or do not see Jesus in you and in me. So, church, we need to love the family of believers. You say, well, I'm not really struggling with that. I find more people struggle with that than you can ever believe. Husbands and wives struggle with it at times. Church, it ought not be. We ought to love each other. Next, Peter says, fear God. Church, this is what brings balance to everything in our life. You really won't be able to honor and respect others until you really learn to honor and fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. If we truly fear God, then we really will begin to love others and we'll stand up for the truth of God's word. Throughout church history, men and women have refused to compromise their faith. Some of them were burned at the stake. Others were mauled by lions. Some were beheaded. Some crucified. Others imprisoned. But they embraced the fact that it's better to honor God and to fear God and then die than to deny him and live. I do not know what we may face in the future, but I encourage you to make a resolve today that you will fear and honor God from this day forward. The last phrase Peter uses in this verse, he says, honor the emperor or honor the king. This last command, think about it, must have seemed so incredible to the early church who was reading this letter. This letter is being written to those who are exiles from Jerusalem and from Rome and other places because Nero is in power. And Nero is against Christianity. Majorly. In fact, there is much persecution, and the church was trying to find a place where they could worship freely. The political climate of the day was not healthy, and the early church had to understand what the church of today still has to understand is that we honor our leaders. Not because they're always right, not because we always agree with their agendas, but we respect our leaders because the Word of God tells us to respect our leaders. And that makes it the right thing to do. We honor those who serve in government because we know that the love of God and the kindness of God is much more powerful than hate and anger. And Christ followers, you ought to be the best citizens in the world. Amen. Why? Because the Word of God says, show proper respect to who? Come on, church. To who? Everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. I don't know where you're walking today. I look in this room and I see most of you week after week. I just want the Holy Spirit to love on you and say, you know what? We got some things we can work on. I don't know that I like the way the political system's going, but I'm going to pray for President Biden. Why? That's what God told me to do. I'm going to respect him. Church, if we don't, then we're not honoring God and his word. And we're going to get our attitudes right. I'm telling you, get thrown in a lion's den and see what God can do. Get thrown into a fiery furnace and see what God can do. You say, well, what happens when you get beheaded? Let's just see what God can do. I think so many times we're looking at, I'm the Savior of the world. I'm not the Savior. I'm a servant of the Savior. And I don't know, when I hear of things that people have given their lives and were tortured or whatever because of their faith, it encourages me. Because you know what? It's real. We don't play church. We are the church. Amen? So I'm just going to pray for you today. I want you to know I love you. And I'm not trying to pull out a whip today and say, you know what? Get away from sin. But I'll lovingly tell you, it'll destroy you. It'll take your soul. Don't let it. And in the frustration of all the political climate and everything going on, you know what? Respect everyone. And we're going to walk through some more of this. I'm sorry that this word submit won't end after this message. Why? Because it's a voluntary thing that we begin to do as believers. Because I know I'm under authority. I don't have to be the authority. I'm okay to subordinate. But I also go fear God at the same time. Amen? So Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would help us. Holy Spirit, help us to activate, whether we ever have or haven't, a respect in our life. When we're at the checkout and the person who's checking out our stuff, and Lord, if a price tag is wrong or if something is not right, Lord, help us to be respectful. Lord, quit blaming everybody for everything. Learn to love people, especially if a household of faith. Lord, help us fear you. Put you first in everything. And Lord, with everything that's going on, that we would pray for those in leadership. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to redeem them and save them and give them wisdom. Guide their hearts today. Lord, somewhere intersect in their world the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, use us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you hear it lovingly today? Did you filter it right? But do you know what to do? That's right. Then let's go do it. I mean, you'll be the best representative God's ever had. Why? Because you obey his word. Amen. So God bless and have a Jesus-filled week.